Take your Bibles. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 4. Once you find your place in Galatians 4, go ahead and stand with me. Just a few verses tonight, and then we'll get into the message. Starting there with verse 4, I'll go ahead and read. The Bible says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." This isn't the typical passage of Scripture that we read during Christmas, but I assure you, this message is about Christmas. Do you know that there's so many people in our world today that don't know what Christmas is? Now, they have ideas. It's about being a good person. It's about being kind, right? It's about being selfless and giving. These are good things. But the people of the world don't know who Christ is. Like Brother Burkett said, maybe they see the manger and they see the baby and they say, what's that? Who's that baby? Was it Santa Claus? Who is that? Well, I'm afraid even some Christians, we've forgotten what Christmas is. We've forgotten the true meaning of Christmas. You see, as spiritual as I like to make myself sound sometimes, even I get caught up in the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season. Working, out buying gifts, going to family get-togethers, eating good food and too much of it. But we get distracted. We get distracted from our Savior. Now, let me say that truly, we have no idea what day the Lord was born. The Bible doesn't say. The Bible's not clear. But I know that He was born. I know that He was born. And Christians have decided to take this day, tonight, December 25th, and celebrate the birth of our Savior. To remember when our Savior came to the earth. He stepped out of eternity to become a man. Take place for my sins and yours. So tonight I want to talk a little about what Christmas truly is. In our passage tonight, it seems like the Christians there in Galatia needed a reminder of what Christmas was truly about. See, a quick overview of Galatians here tonight. The church of Galatia had some people come in. They were teaching false doctrine. They were saying, oh, yeah, it's about grace, but hey, you also got to keep the law. If you don't keep the law, I don't think you're saved. They were taking the justification by faith in Christ alone and adding works to it. Let me tell you, church, I see this today in Christianity. I see it. These Galatians needed a reminder of what Christmas was. And now I know what you're going to say, Brother Frankie, Christmas isn't in the Bible. I know. But it's what we celebrate. It's what we call it in Christianity today. But the Galatians were turning from the gospel of grace. In my opinion, so this is my opinion, okay? I'm going to be like Brother Collins and tell you when it's my opinion. This is a big stumbling block. Christianity today. We have the same thing. We have people who say, we don't want you to come to our church unless you're clean. We don't want you to come to our church. You have to get right first. Let me tell you, church, if I were to come to this church and Brother Raspberry said that to me, I would have never been in church. Because I sure wasn't clean. I sure wasn't a perfect person. I sure wasn't keeping much of the laws of any of them. But I came to this church. You people welcomed me with open arms. You loved me. And I got to learn through the preaching and the teaching of God's Word how I could clean my life up. It's sad, the state of churches nowadays who want to add works, saying, oh, you have to keep all grace. You have to be saved completely, and you have to turn away from all your sins to be saved. Well, folks, if that was true, then none of us are saved. We slip day in, day out. I'm glad that's through grace, through faith, that I'm saved. Now, I won't go too much more into the doctrine here, okay? This is about Christmas, but it's just something I've seen in our world, and I want sinners to come here. I go out as many Saturdays out of the year as I can, soul winning, to say, look, I know that you're broken. I know that you're in a hard place. I want you to come to church. I want you to meet Jesus. I want to show you what salvation is all about. And then Jesus can help you clean your life up like he did mine. But cleaning up of one's life comes after salvation and never before. We come to Christ as we are, and we let him change us from the inside out. So back to the book of Galatians. Paul wrote to the Galatian church to remind them of the significance of what Christ had done for them. He came to the earth. Now I'll briefly go back through our scripture reading. I'm going to add in some comments here so we can all get the same kind of understanding, okay? So, starting there in verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman under the law. So, when the fullness of time was come, at the time determined by God. God had this planned out from the beginning. The very beginning. Before eternity passed, okay? God, it's always been a plan. He sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ, born of a woman, born under the law. See, Mary was a Jewish girl. Brother Combs preached that message about how, you know, all these Jewish girls were probably like, oh, is it going to be me? Am I going to birth this? Wow, this is amazing. Okay? Verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, this is the Jews, okay? The Jews had the law. The Jews were told by God what the law was, okay? So that we're going to change it now, that we, this is everyone, Jews and Gentiles alike, might receive the adoption of sons. Look there in verse 6. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This cry of Abba, Father reveals the deep emotion coming from the indwelling Holy Spirit that lives inside of a Christian. Verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So church, tonight I want to talk to you of what Christmas is really about. Just a few points here and we'll go home. So first, Christmas is about the coming of the Savior. In our scripture passage, we see some very important things about Jesus Christ and his coming to earth. The first thing we see is his divine origin. You know, there was an event that took place before the birth of Christ in the manger. Before that baby was there in the manger. There's something that happened. Even before the conception of Christ in the womb of Mary. Does anyone have a guess of what happened before Christ was sent into the womb of Mary? He was sent forth by the Father. He had to be sent forth by the Father. So, verse 4 tells us, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. Church, Christ has always existed. Okay? Christ didn't just come into existence almost 2,000 years ago or 2,000-ish years ago, okay? That wasn't his beginning. Christ has always existed with God the Father, forever and ever. Now, I think most of us here can recite this verse from memory. Okay, I'm going to have us do it, okay? John 1:1, it's an easy one, okay? So let's recite it together. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus Christ. In the beginning, this is before the earth was created, okay? God has no beginning. God has always existed. Nothing created God. All, you know, all these atheists and scientific people are like, oh, well, who created God? No one did. God's always existed. But in the beginning was the Word, and that's Jesus Christ. Here's another question. Never mind, I just answered that one. When was the beginning? It was before the earth was created. Okay? He has no beginning. He has no ending. Christ has always existed. It's when he stepped out from eternity into where we are today. Or not today, but into our earth. Christ stepped out from eternity to the earth. And that's why one of his names is Emmanuel. God with us. I love that name of Christ. God came to dwell with us. The divine came to meet the human being. Jesus talked about his eternal existence while praying his high priestly prayer, as many call, in John 17. In John 17, verse 5, the Bible says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Christ himself said, "I have always existed." So Christ has always existed in perfect, loving fellowship with the Father. Nothing unbroken. It's always been perfect fellowship with the Father. So one day, at a precise time, God sent Christ forth. It was God's plan before there was even a world. I love these verses in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 20. The Bible says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Every time I read those verses, I fall in love with them again. Christ was manifested in these last times for you and I, the people that God so loves. Wow. It's amazing. So not only was Christ divine, he's always existed. Notice that Jesus, he made a conscious decision to be sent down to this earth. He made the choice to obey the Father. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Read just a few verses here. Starting in verse 1, I'll read. The Bible says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem each other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but it made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Notice that that in his love for humanity, God sent forth his Son. And in the Son's love for his Father, and the Son's love for humanity, he willingly went. I want you to think with me for a moment what Jesus left to be born in that manger. Jesus left a place of glory. Jesus left a place that was perfect. Jesus left a place where there was no sin. Jesus left a place where the angels saying glory, praise, and honor to His name constantly. So come here to this sin-stained earth, to this cursed earth. He left glory. He left perfection for you and I. It's hard to think about that sometimes. Jesus Christ willingly, obediently, and lovingly left heaven to go to the womb of Mary and be born as a man to take away the sin of the world. Just think about that. Think about Mary. Brother Burkett was saying, imagine things, right? I like to do the same. Imagine the fullness of the Godhead inside the womb of Mary. Wow. It's no wonder we read in the Gospel of Luke a song of praise to God from Mary. We won't read that tonight for time's sake. But it's Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, if you all want to read it later. But this is Christ's divine origin. Notice also Christ's full humanity. Let's look back at Galatians 4:4 for a moment. My cheater. Notice the first statement of God sent forth His Son. Now this could be said of no other person ever to live. God sent forth His Son. But that next statement made of a woman is true of every single person in this room and every single person in this world. We're all made of a woman. We're all born of a woman, right? So while Jesus Christ was fully divine in His origin, He was likewise fully human. He entered the world just as you and I entered the world. He was born of a woman. He became a man. He was Mary's son. Jesus Christ got hungry like you and I do. He probably maybe got too full like you and I did. He got thirsty like you and I did. He played games as a kid maybe. He worked. He got hurt. He bled. He died. Just like a man would. Does anyone know the title that the Lord Jesus most frequently said of Himself? Son of Man. Good. Y'all are good Bible readers. Son of Man. Now, I don't have proof of this, but I think that Jesus used this title to stress His humanity. To stress His humanity to others. After all, it was the seed of woman, a man that would come and crush the head of that serpent. In Genesis 3:15, the Bible says, "And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Jesus became a man. Notice that although Jesus Christ was God's Son, He subjected Himself to God's law. In fact, when He began to teach, He made it very, very clear that He did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Matthew 5:17, the Bible says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And He did fulfill it perfectly. Not one thing was out of place. Think about this, though. Here's something that I don't always think about, and I should. So, we think of the law as more of an outward thing, right? You know, don't kill, don't steal. But Jesus not only fulfilled the outward part of the law, He fulfilled the inner part of the law, loving God with all of His heart, with all of His soul, with all of His mind. That one's hard to do as a human. We get distracted. A little too easily, I would say. He obeyed God's law from His heart. this could be said of no other man that ever lived. Christmas is about the coming of the Savior. He lowered himself. He condescended. He came down so we could go up. Amen. He came down so we could go up. So not only is Christmas about the coming of the Savior, Christmas is about setting lost sinners free. Verse 5 in our scripture passage, what's that first word there? Who's there? What's that first word in verse 5 of Galatians 4? Two. To do what? There it is. Y'all are good Bible readers. See, I told you I'm not going to teach you anything new. But the rest of the verse tells us exactly why Christmas came. Why Christ was born. Why he lived under the law. To redeem them that were under the law. Now to redeem, I'm going to give you the long version of the definition here. To redeem means to purchase back, to ransom, to liberate, or rescue from captivity or bondage, or from any obligation or liability to suffer or to be forfeited by paying an equivalent, as to redeem prisoners or captured goods, to redeem a pledge. That's the end of it. Now, who are them that are under the law? We already talked about this. It's the Jews, right? The Jews had the law. First, this speaks of the Jews, God's chosen people. Romans 3:12, the Bible says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of the circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Now, what are the oracles of God? Y'all know that one. Romans 9:4. Who are the Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? The oracles of God is what God gave to the Jews. He gave them the law. He gave them, you know, what was that word there? Lost it. Oh, he gave them, I lost it again. Oh, there it is. Covenants. That's the word. He gave them covenants. He gave them the law. He gave the Jews all these things. But Christ came to set his people free from the enslavement of the law. Because guess what? Like I said, we can't keep the law. It's impossible. And to keep the law is the only way to be saved. So the law was given directly to the Israelites. But all men are subject to God's moral law. All men. It doesn't matter who you are, Gentile, Jew, you are subject to God's moral law, which is most people call the Ten Commandments. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2, real quick. Just a few verses in Romans 2. Starting there in verse 12. The Bible says, For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. All those words basically said, we have a conscience that God has built into us. We know when we're doing wrong. We are not excluded from the law just because we're not Jewish. All men are subject to God's moral law. God's moral law alone cannot make one righteous. Like I said, it's impossible. So, knowing the rules, which we know, knowing the rules and trying to keep the rules in our own power has always resulted in failure. Because we can't do it. We need something more than just a written code, okay? We need a change of our heart. Our heart is wicked. You know, Adam, back in the garden, had one rule. Just one. Don't eat that tree. Because if you do, you're going to die. Adam had one rule. He broke it. Just one. Broke it. Through Adam, we all get to reap death. Now let me say to those people who I talked about earlier, God's law has not been done away with. God's law is just as solid as it's ever been. But the great difference is our wonderful Lord. He came to be the only person who was ever completely able to keep and fulfill God's law. Therefore, since we that are saved are in Christ Jesus, and He's in us, guess what? That means we keep the law. Because Jesus is inside of us. Another passage I want to turn to tonight, Ezekiel 18. Once again, I'm already over, so we're not going to read the whole thing. I just want to read a few verses here. But this whole passage is fantastic. Ezekiel 18. We'll start there, verse 20. Verse 20 of Ezekiel 18, the Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?" Now this is God speaking to Ezekiel, a message to the Israelites, to the Jews. He's saying, it says many times in this passage, if you go back and read it, the soul that sinneth shall die. Guess what? All of us inherited sin. So we all have sin, so we're all going to die. But if we turn from our sin and keep the law, we shall live. Now remember that for just a second. Turn with me to Ephesians 2. So the soul that sinneth shall die. Okay? Look there in verse 1 of Ephesians 2. We'll start in verse 1. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and out of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Preacher's going to love this one. Ephesians 2 says we are quickened. We are made alive. We are, here you go, preacher, vivified in Christ Jesus. Wow. So Ezekiel 18 says, we inherited this sin from Grandpa Adam. That means we got to die. But Ephesians 2, Christ came and fulfilled that and has now made us righteous. Wow. That's amazing. That's why Christmas came. Jesus came to set us free from that law and its curse. How did Jesus do this? How did Jesus take away the curse off of us? He became the curse for us. Turn to Galatians 3. Here we are back in the book of Galatians, where we know that the scripture is talking about the doctrine of justification by grace through faith. So look there, starting in verse 10. Verse 10 of Galatians 3, the Bible says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." We get the Spirit too. Christ freed us from the curse of the law by becoming that curse for us. Christ descended as low as to become a curse for you and for me. You don't have to turn there. Isaiah 53, just a couple verses there. This is a classic Christmas passage too. Well, classic Christmas and Easter. The Lord dying for us. But starting in verse 4, I'm going to read down through verse 6. The Bible says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus Christ came to this earth, was born as that baby, but it didn't end there. There's movies out there, there's even people out there that say, "Well, I just want to think about baby Jesus. I like the baby Jesus." It didn't end there. Jesus Christ grew up, worked with his stepfather maybe, not told, became a young child, became a teenager, adult, started his ministry at 30 years old. At the end of his ministry, Jesus suffered, and bled, died, an old rugged cross. Should have got this ready already. Get your hymn books real quick. I think it's hymn 425. We don't have to sing it. But I'm just going to go through this first verse and the chorus once for all. Beautiful hymn. Let's look at the first verse here. "Free from the law, oh happy condition. Jesus hath bled, and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us once for all. Once for all, oh sinner, receive it. Once for all, oh brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all." I love that song. I love these old hymns. They speak so much of our Savior and our God. The curse of sin has been once and for all removed from those that believe in Christ. Why did he choose to remove our curse, you may ask? Well, back to Galatians 4, it tells us in verse 5 that we, being everyone, might receive the adoption of sons. Christ set us free from the curse so that he could place us in his family. So that you and I could be adopted sons and daughters of Christ, receiving the full benefits. We get the full benefits of being God's son. through Christ. 1 John 3:1. Let's go that way. 1 John 3:1, another beautiful verse. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. That's another one that I read it and I'm taken aback every time. What manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Remember that Ephesians 2:3 tells us that before salvation by nature, we're the children of wrath. That means our sin is an offense to God. Sin itself is repulsive to God. And Christ made it possible through his sinless life, vicarious death, and glorious resurrection for us to be the adopted sons and daughters of God. So Christmas is about setting sinners free. This is my last point. It's a short one, and then we'll get to the conclusion, I promise. Galatians 4:4 tells us that God sent forth his Son to redeem us. Philippians 2:7 tells us that God inhabited human flesh. All that took place outside of us. Okay? Our redemption, our adoption, these things we can know about and we can believe. Okay? But they all take place outside of us. We had absolutely nothing to do with any of that. At all. Jesus paid all of that for us. But God made it real for us, okay? He sent forth again. Once again, the divine takes up residence in the human body. Look there in Galatians 4:6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Well, this point is, lastly, Christmas is about the assurance of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit here. God sent forth the Holy Spirit again to take up residence in humans. Church, I don't know for sure. I don't have a meter, but I know all of you are saved, I believe. Guess what? God lives in you. Wow. That's another amazing one that I can't get over. God lives in me. He's decided to come and live inside of me, to be my comforter, to be my help. He prays for me when I can't pray the words that I need to pray. It's a personal Christmas. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, vivifying us, making us alive, making us know that we are children of God. That term Abba is a term that was a term of endearment from a child to a father. I sure do love him. I sure do love him. He's good. So Christmas is about the coming of the Savior. Christmas is about setting lost sinners free. Christmas is about the assurance of the Holy Spirit inside of us. I'm not against any of these things I'm about to say. But I'm going to tell you what Christmas is not about. Christmas is not about family gatherings. Christmas is not about giving and receiving presents. Christmas is not about having time off at the end of the year to kind of reflect on things. No, dear friends. Christmas is about the coming of the Savior. Jesus Christ came to earth in the form of a man. But Christ did not come just to check out things. You know, oh man, sure do want to go down there and check it out, Dad. Wow, it's pretty cool. Oh man, that star is so bright. That's cool. He didn't come to check it out. He came to die. For you, for me. He came to be our Emmanuel. Christ came to fulfill the law so that we could have fellowship with our Heavenly Father. You ever thought about how miraculous the birth of Christ was? Like, we talk about miracles a lot, of what Jesus did in his healings. But why don't people add into those miracles his birth? It's a miracle. a virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle. The miraculous birth, the perfect life, the sacrificial death, and the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, He gave us the best gift that could be ever be given. The Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of us. So church, let's go home tonight and praise Christ. Let's go home tonight and worship Christ for what He has provided for us. I urge anyone in the congregation tonight, or watching online even, if there's anyone out there, I invite you to contact us if you've not been born again. Jesus Christ has already paid the debt for you. You have to do nothing but accept Him as your Savior. Anyone online tonight, go to our church webpage. You have a place that you can contact our pastor. We'd love to talk to you about salvation. Anyone in the congregation tonight, we have many people who can come talk to you about salvation if you've not been saved. There's no need to be embarrassed. In fact, if you get born again, I'll rejoice with you. I know all these people in this room will rejoice with you. I plead. Learn of Christ. Learn of why He came to this earth. He's not just the baby. He's the Savior.